Our next case this morning is number 034164, Housing Authority Risk Retention Group against the Chicago Housing Authority. Mr. Buckley.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, John Buckley for the Chicago Housing Authority. We are here, Your Honors, because the complaint and the underlying mass tort action raised the duty to defend on behalf of our insurer, HARG, the Housing Authority Risk Retention Group. I'll refer to them as HARG in this argument.
You know, I think off the bat, Mr. Buckley, we need to know what law we're applying because HARG thinks it's Illinois, and you at least at one point were arguing that Vermont law...
We did argue in the district court that Vermont law may apply. We've dropped that for purposes of this appeal and are arguing that Illinois law applies.
That's helpful.
Thank you. As HARG admits in paragraph 10 of their complaint, in the underlying litigation, plaintiffs have sought damages for alleged bodily injuries resulting from alleged exposure to environmental contamination at and around Altgeld Gardens.
What is the status of the underlying litigation?
The underlying litigation has been settled, Your Honor, in principle. There are a few T's to cross and I's to dot, but as of this time, we expect that settlement to go forward within
and
the next month or so.
Does that affect us in any way in your view?
It does not, Judge. This case essentially involves, at this point, a judgment on the pleadings and the duty to defend. It really, what it does is it caps a limit on any payout that the insurer would have to pay were we to prevail with regard to an indemnity finding as well. The district court bought HARG's argument that the pollution exclusion that HARG had in their policies, which HARG calls the absolute pollution exclusion, was in fact absolute. It is not. It is more properly termed the at or from exclusion, because what it excludes is discharge, release, or escape of pollutants at or from the insured premises. And in this case, the allegations of the complaint go outside at or from to allegations of off-site exposure from off-site sources.
So how would you distinguish that handful of cases that were cited by HARG that include, or rather that conclude that an absolute pollution exclusion barred coverage for all claims of pollution, whether or not the contaminant originated on the insured's property?
Even if they did not originate on the insured's property, HARG argued that the 1998 through 1998 policies, which included seepage, migration, and release, also would also bar a pollution that came from off-site onto the site. But we have in this complaint allegations of off-site contamination from off-site sources. These people allege that, in fact, the Altgeld Gardens was put in the wrong spot in the first place, and that subjected the residents not only to pollution exposure within the Altgeld Gardens, but also in the surrounding neighborhood where they worked, where they go to church, where they grocery shop, and the like. And under those circumstances, off-site pollution causing off-site exposure is not within the absolute pollution exclusion or the at or from exclusion, as it's properly called. And for those reasons, the pollution exclusion in HARG's policy does not even apply to this case. Keep in mind that as a motion for judgment on the pleadings, all we need to prove is any set of facts which would give rise to potential for coverage. And under those circumstances, I believe that is probably one of the lowest, if not the lowest, standard in American jurisprudence. Any potential for coverage triggers the duty to defend. And that duty to defend is triggered whether or not the charges or the allegations are frivolous, fraudulent, or false. That's the essence of a duty to defend under an insurance policy, is that the insured gets protection when the suit is filed and as long as those allegations are before the court. Because what it's all about is protecting the insured against risk. And in this case, those allegations are found in the Fourth Amended complaint. An allegation of improper siting of the Altgeld Gardens and the dependency of the residents on the CHA to choose a proper location from them. Paragraphs 7 through 12 and 17 through 31 of the Fourth Amended complaint, count 1. There are charges of, in essence, environmental discrimination. In other words, that they put these people in this polluted situation because they were poor and didn't have other means. in the same paragraphs, and there's also allegations of injury from off-site exposure to off-site pollution. And those are specifically found in count 4 of the complaint, where over 3,000 allegations contend that a plaintiff on several occasions while living in Altfield Gardens suffered from exposure to the release of noxious chemicals from nearby industries, that's off-site exposure, off-site source, that caused temporary irritation of the skin, eyes, and respiratory system. I'd point the court to the La Rotunda case, where the Illinois Supreme Court dealt with similar issues in regard to a duty to defend. In that case, dealt with landowners of a site on the Des Plaines River near Route 83, and they were accused of having a fire on their property that blew smoke over Route 83 and caused an automobile accident. In that case, there was a business exclusion to the policy, and they had, on that land, allowed someone to run a junk business. But the Illinois Supreme Court said, wait a minute, the fire is not clearly delineated as being part of the business. And in fact, there's no clear delineation between the on the property as to what portion is used for business and what portion is not. And under those circumstances, a duty to defend arises because there is clearly a potential for coverage. We have a better set of facts here.
But isn't the real problem here that the insurance policy was written to address traditional pollution situations and doesn't really address the environmental discrimination claim?
I think that's one of the traps that Judge Pallmeyer fell into, is that she believed that this was solely a traditional environmental claim. There are parts of it that you could say are traditional environmental claims, but when you talk about trying to hold someone responsible, not only for on-site contamination and on-site exposure, but also for exposure when they leave the property and go out into the community, that's a non-traditional claim. The idea that you are going to charge the CHA with environmental discrimination and say, you put these people here because you were discriminating against them based on their socioeconomic status, that's not a traditional environmental claim. And when you say, for instance, that you put it in the wrong place in the first place, that's not a traditional environmental claim. And with respect, if there are no further questions, I'll save the remaining time for rebuttal. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Buckley. We'll hear now from Mr. Lyons.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Alan Lyons from Herrick Feinstein, representing Harg, the appellee. I'd like first to respond to the issue raised regarding whether the Fourth Amendment complaint alleges environmental discrimination or improper siting. It's our position that those claims are not alleged. The claims for wrongful siting were alleged in the First Amendment complaint in subparagraphs 58 I, J, T, U, and W, but those claims were stricken and dismissed with prejudice by the underlying court on tort immunity grounds. And those subparagraphs were not realleged in the second, the third, or the fourth amended complaint. As far as environmental discrimination is concerned, the fourth amended complaint does not even mention the word. And the plaintiffs have confirmed to the underlying court that they are not seeking to hold CHA liable for claims of wrongful placement or failure to relocate. But let's assume for a moment, for the sake of argument, that those claims are alleged in the Fourth Amended complaint.
Well, if you're going to do that, it seems to me that one reasonable interpretation of policy here is that the exclusion only applies where the pollution comes from CHA property and injures a person on a third-party site or where the pollution is at the CHA property and injures someone on that property. Because what else could at mean in this context?
Your Honor, at means at and from means from. We're not disputing that. But the cases relied upon by the district court state that where you have releases of pollution causing bodily injury at or from CHA's property, it is irrelevant whether the pollution originated from surrounding property or whether CHA caused the pollution itself. The bottom line is that The absolute pollution exclusion does not depend on theories of liability. It depends on the fact of bodily injury arising from pollution.
Okay, well, suppose the only claim had been that the CHA built public housing next to an abandoned toxic waste dump, knowing that the children would leave the CHA and they'd play on the contaminated, the CHA property, and they'd play on the contaminated open field that's adjacent to, but not owned by the CHA. And the CHA offered no warnings, built no fences, et cetera, et cetera. Would the Housing Authority Risk Retention Group have a duty to defend CHA in that case?
No, Your Honor, because the bottom line is this. Whatever the theory of liability, as long as the bodily injury is caused by traditional environmental pollution.
What provision of the policy should I go and look at that would exclude HARG from the duty to defend in a scenario like that?
You would look at subparagraph A1 of the absolute pollution exclusion, which has been interpreted by the Illinois Supreme Court in Collins to say that whatever the theory of liability, as long as the bodily injury arises from traditional environmental pollution at or from CHA's property, the exclusion applies. And this is a very different situation to that case in Collins, where the bodily injury was caused by a release of carbon monoxide from a defective furnace, and the court held that that's not traditional environmental pollution. And this is an even stronger case than State Farm and Kim, where a chemical was released from a malfunctioning dry cleaning machine and seeped into the soil. That was held to be traditional environmental pollution. Here, the allegations are that the bodily injury claims arose from hazardous and toxic substances from the surrounding waste dumps and landfills. Your Honor, if that is not an example of what the Illinois Supreme Court had in mind with the phrase traditional environmental pollution, you know, I just don't know what is. As to CHA's claim that the Fourth Amended complaint is broader than at or from, that's just not the case, Your Honor. The underlying court, for the sake of clarity, ruled that to the extent those claims could be construed from the First Amended complaint, they are dismissed with prejudice and stricken. And the plaintiffs themselves confirmed to the underlying court that they are not seeking to hold CHA liable for off-site injury. And CHA itself stated to the underlying court that based on its prior ruling, the plaintiff cannot make those claims. And CHA has referred this court to paragraphs 7 through 12 and 17 through 27, I believe, of the Fourth Amended complaint. Those paragraphs, the plaintiffs themselves have said, contain merely historical information, introductory information, not theories of liability against CHA. And the plaintiffs have confirmed that they're not seeking to hold CHA liable for off-site injury. And if you look at those paragraphs directly, they're on page 134 of the joint appendix, it's clear that they just allege the presence of pollution on third-party property and where the pollution originated from.
134, that's not count four, is it?
No, Your Honor.
Where is count four?
Count four is... It begins on page 150 of the joint appendix. And count four incorporates by reference the allegations of count one and the introductory allegations that counsel for CHA has referred to. They say nothing about bodily injury claims arising from plaintiffs while they were on third-party property. But let's assume that the Fourth Amendment complaint could be construed to allege those claims. The exclusion still applies by virtue of subparagraph A2, which denies coverage for bodily injury arising out of the release of pollutants at or from any premises used by others for the handling, storage, disposal, processing, or treatment of waste. And the Fourth Amended complaint describes Elk Elk Gardens as being situated in an area surrounded by sewage treatment, waste disposal facilities, landfills, and dumping areas. Your Honor, it's clear that this can be nothing but waste. We're not talking about widgets being left by the surrounding industries causing bodily injury. But the district court did not feel it necessary to consider that argument because it found that the only allegations in the Fourth Amended complaint allege bodily injury.
Yeah, but the CHA has, you know, argued that the underlying plaintiff's claims aren't limited to injury caused by waste from third-party sources. And they're probably right, because if they're complaining of third-party pollutants, that's just as likely to come from the usable and wanted products of the heavy industry that's located around orchid gardens, as they are from waste products of that industry, right?
Well, Your Honor, the definition of waste in the policy is materials to be recycled, reconditioned, or reclaimed. And there's a case in Arizona, there's very little case law interpreting this subprovision, but the Arizona Supreme Court in Keggy and Northbrook Property has stated that the definition of waste implies that the term refers to the industrial byproduct. Well, the pollution cannot be caused by the
product.
But
a shame we're not in that.
Well, there is no binding law in this circuit, Your Honor, on this point, but it's clear that the pollution here could not have been caused by the products of the industry. It could not be caused by the byproducts of the industry, of the surrounding industry, as well as the waste dumps and the landfills and the dumping areas. Your Honor, if I may respond to one other point raised by CHA in its brief, and that concerns the 1987 policy, where CHA alleges that it's not an absolute pollution exclusion because it does not contain the word migration. Well, Your Honor, this is a bodily injury claim, not a property damage claim. And migration is a property damage term, not a bodily injury term. Pollutants do not migrate into people causing bodily injury. They migrate from soil to soil or property to property. And CHA has not cited a case to state that an absolute pollution exclusion without the word migration somehow provides coverage for bodily injury claims. The absence of the word migration is only relevant where there's an allegation that pollutants from CHA's property migrate to surrounding properties. In the absence of a discharge, dispersal, release, or escape, it's causing property damage. Well, that's clearly not alleged here, so I don't believe that argument has any merit whatsoever. As far as the duty to defend is concerned, of course, I do not disagree with the principles that counsel for CHA has set forth. The Fourth Amendment complaint does not allege off-site injury, and this court is entitled to refer to the underlying court's order, December 2000, to aid in construction of those allegations. I see the red light is on. Unless you have any further questions, that's my presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Lyons.
Thank you.
Mr. Buck.
Thank you, Your Honor. With all due respect to Mr. Lyons, I think he has the standard backwards. In a duty to defend case, the issue is whether or not the complaint completely excludes the potential for coverage. What he has said to this court is that there is no specific allegation of off-site contamination or off-site exposure. But the standard instead is that the complaint must instead say that the only exposure was on-site. And the perfect example of that case is the La Rotunda case, where it talked about the fact there was no clear demarcation between the business and vacant portions of the land, and it was unclear that the fire was solely on the business portion of the land.
How do we deal with the fact that the judge in the underlying suit dismissed with prejudice all of the plaintiff's claims regarding liability for conditions on third-party properties?
There are three ways to deal with that, Your Honor. First, if you go to count four, starting at page 150, you will see that there are allegations remaining that there was off-site contamination that does not specifically exclude off-site exposure, saying that on various occasions they were subjected to noxious chemicals from factories in the surrounding area. So that in and of itself, those allegations, and there are over 3,000 of them, take you outside of the complaint, or outside of the pollution exclusion. Secondly, what has happened here is that after hearing our arguments on the absolute pollution exclusion being not absolute, what the appellee has done, both in the district court and here, is try to go to pleadings outside of the complaint, which is the basis for a motion for judgment on the pleadings, and drag in a lot of what I would consider to be the record allegations. The fact is, those allegations are in the Fourth Amended complaint. And you should take note that the very order that they cite that says that some of these allegations are dismissed also forbids us from moving to dismiss under those under the Liability Act anymore. So when they come back in, we've got a court order from Judge O'Brien saying we cannot move to dismiss them again. We are therefore still on the risk. We still had to answer the complaint. We still had to defend those charges. Finally, with respect to the motion for judgment on the pleadings and the bringing in of extra material, the federal rules of civil procedure give us some clues as to how to deal with that. What they say is that the district court, can turn it into a motion for summary judgment. She did not, and there's no indication in her opinion that she considered those to be outcome determinative. She ruled on the law as an absolute solution exclusion. So our thought is if the court wants to consider those outside the complaint allegations, then it ought to send it down to the district court for further proceedings. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Buckley. Thank you, Mr. Lyons. The case will be taken under advisement.